This message comes from NPR sponsor Progressive Insurance, where drivers who switch could save hundreds on car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
You're listening to It's Been a Minute from NPR. I'm Aisha Roscoe, in for Sam Sanders. My guest today, actress Sonequa Martin-Green.
I was 11 when it came out. It was a really big deal in my home because we were huge Michael Jordan fans.
Okay.
And, you know, that was like prime time Chicago Bulls, right? 96?
Yes.
Come on.
Yeah.
The dream team and everything.
And now, the player coach of the Toon Squad.
The movie Sonequa is talking about, Space Jam.
His Royal Fairness, Michael Jordan.
Space Jam brought together two of the biggest, most legendary, most out-of-this-world names at the time, Michael Jordan and Looney Tunes. You know, I loved Looney Tunes a lot. I love Michael Jordan, but I really love Looney Tunes. Like, do you have a favorite Looney Tunes? Like, character?
Oh, yeah. Even back then, my favorite was Tweety Bird.
I did see Michael Jordan.
I love Daffy because he always got really, really angry and he thinks so highly of himself.
Stop the music. Through. Jeez. It's getting so a guy can't even get himself wet around here.
I love Bugs too, but like I love the underdog of like, and then just being very angry about it.
Like, that's right. That makes sense. It's very, I want to hang with Daffy just to see if I can get him riled up.
Exactly. Now, 25 years later, Sonequa stars in Space Jam, A New Legacy. In it, she plays Kamaya, wife of one of the biggest basketball stars of today, LeBron James.
Hey, you're that famous basketball guy. Come on, aren't you LeBron James?
Bugs Bunny knows who I am?
Sonequa is no stranger to legacy franchises. She also stars in Star Trek Discovery as Michael Burnham, a Starfleet officer, which makes her the first Black woman to lead a live-action Star Trek series ever. And there's been a lot of Star Trek. In this chat, we also talk about hair and identity and why Sonequa felt called to speak up around the time of last summer's protests following the murder of George Floyd. But first, we talk about Space Jam and Sonequa's co-star, LeBron. You talked about in another interview you did about how surreal it was to work with LeBron James because you remembered reading about him in Jet magazine, in the Jet, about when he was about to graduate high school and go to the NBA, and you were about to leave high school and go to pursue acting. So how crazy was it for you to now link up with him at this point in your career to do a project?
Surreal is the word, right? Overwhelming is the word.
Yeah.
Breathtaking is the word.
Yeah.
Because I thought that was such a, it was such a random moment that I had on my living room couch of the house that I grew up in, reading this story about this high school student and everything and seeing the similarity there, drawing that parallel between, you know, he and I, between acting and basketball. And then, you know, however many years later, here we are sort of melding acting and basketball in real life. Not to mention the fact that, you know, he became LeBron James and he became the champion that he is. And it was really surreal. So much so that I actually didn't even share that story with him.
Oh, really?
Because since that story happened and since we started to see him rise, and see him just become more and more successful, I started referring to him as like cousin LeBron, you know, because of that moment on my living room couch.
Yeah.
And and so there were several days on set where I said, today's the day I'm going to tell LeBron about this.
Yeah.
I'm going to be like, look, this, you know, but I never did.
Yeah.
And then I thought maybe I'll wait till after the movie premieres and then I'll tell him.
Well, you know, well, he became LeBron James, but you became Saniqua Martin Green. So yes. You have both done very well for yourself, I have to say. Yeah.
Thank you for that.
When you were sitting on that couch, like, and reading mm-hmm. the jet, I'm imagining like a wooden table. I'm seeing different jets. I'm seeing maybe an ebony, maybe an essence. I'm seeing it on the table.
Exactly right.
But when you were reading that jet and thinking about going off to acting, did you envision mm-hmm. this for yourself? Like, did you see yourself where you're at now when you were going off then?
You know what? I bet if I saw where I am now, I would have been too scared to move forward, right?
Yeah.
I think that's one of the things that God, you know, gives us in his grace, in my opinion, is just the step ahead of you, just the step ahead of that, just the step ahead of that. Because I think God knows if we were to see the whole picture, we would be overwhelmed and we would be stagnated by that. Right.
Yeah.
So he sort of doles it out, you know, in little crumbs that we can take.
Coming up, I have one burning question for Saniqua. It's about Star Trek Discovery and her hair.
If you've never donated to the NPR network before, that's okay. Public radio is available to everyone for free. But we do rely on listener support from those who are able to give. So join the community of supporters for Public Media Giving Days, coming up on May 1st and 2nd. Please give at donate.npr.org, and thank you.
From your car radio to your smart speaker, NPR meets you where you are in a lot of different ways. Now we're in your pocket. Download the NPR app today.
There's no denying that there is a lot going on in the economy right now.
So far in 2021, about 3,600 retail stores have closed.
You know, China has banned Bitcoin many times before, but this time it's looking pretty serious.
Understanding this stuff, it is kind of our thing here at The Indicator. It's how we like to spend our free time. Every day we explain something that is going on in the economy. Listen and follow The Indicator from Planet Money on NPR.
So you pursued acting. It worked out because you worked on a little show called The Walking Dead. And now, in addition to Space Jam, you are also currently star in Star Trek Discovery as the Michael Burnham, a Starfleet officer. You are the first Black woman to lead a live-action Star Trek series. So full disclosure, my husband is a big Trekkie. Like, he is, like, serious.
What?
Like, serious Trekkie. You know, he knows all about the quadrants and the tech. And if y'all try to do a shortcut where y'all go between a quadrant too fast, he'll say, I don't think they could have traveled that fast. That is not in the same quadrant.
Ooh.
That one, yes. He watching y'all. He know.
He knows what's up.
He know.
I love hearing
stuff.
That.
He gives me all the information. It's a lot to take in, but he know he's seen all the series. He know it.
Yes.
So
that makes me happy. You got to send him my love.
I will. He is a big Trekkie. But what was it like for you to step into that very fully formed universe?
Well, you know, when I was rapping on Walking Dead, I hoped that there was something bright and amazing and fulfilling around the corner. I know a lot of people felt that I must have left Walking Dead in order to go to Star Trek Discovery, because that's sort of the way it seemed as timing wise. But that was not the case at all. I was already leaving Walking Dead. It was just Sasha's time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was filming those last few episodes as Sasha when the opportunity for Star Trek Discovery came.
Oh, wow.
And so it was literally a door closing and another one opening almost simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
But I was so blown away by being able to be a part of it. I wasn't a Trekkie or a Trekker growing up. My parents definitely watched it, but I would just sort of run back and forth in front of the TV. Oh, Star Trek is on. Oh,
yeah,
Star
yeah.
Trek is on. Right?
Yeah.
So I had to dive into the deep end.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, of course, more than happy to do that. But I was so appreciative of being the first Black woman to helm the franchise, and then also knowing that it was a journey to the captaincy, you know, was a big deal. Being able to see someone you know, slip and trip and fall forward and actually earn their position there. Mm-hmm. I thought that that was really dramatic mm-hmm. and compelling for viewers to see. But I couldn't believe it. I said, oh my gosh, there's the history, there's the Black history here. And then I'm also Spock's sister, which was a big deal.
Yes.
And I was blown away.
Yeah. You've kind of talked about it, but just briefly for the uninitiated, the people who may not be up on Star Trek Discovery yet, can you give like mm-hmm. a brief synopsis of your role in the series? You've talked about it, but just a little mm-hmm. bit. Yeah.
Well, I play Michael Burnham, a human woman who was raised on Vulcan.
It was always my intention to join the Vulcan Expeditionary Group.
Sometimes the universe allows for the making of unexpected memories.
Emotional platitudes are not what I was hoping for.
Well, you've really been away from humans for a long time.
When we start out at the beginning of the series, I am the first officer of the USS Shenzhou under Captain Georgiou.
It would be logical for you to take into account my success rate during our 7 years together and execute my plan without further challenge before we're dragged into war.
Starfleet doesn't fire first. That's all, number one.
We have to.
And then in season two, we have the entrance of Captain Pike mm-hmm. and Spock, mm-hmm. arguably the most beloved character mm-hmm. in Trek lore.
I am not here to absolve you, Michael Burnham. This is not about your feelings.
Because I'm a fool for taking that personally.
Agreed.
I risked everything to bring you here.
It does not surprise me that you see it that way.
We also have this big mystery that we're having to solve. And what we find is we're going to have to jump to the future because mm-hmm. there's a great threat called control yeah. that we end up having to best.
Identify space-time location.
You have reached year 3188.
Computer, life readings. Is there life here? Anywhere?
Multiple life signs detected.
Everyone's discovering who they really are and who we are to each other and who we are in this new future. And then by the end of season three, you see Michael Burnham become the captain.
Let's fly.
And so I wanted to talk about Burnham. She was raised with Vulcans, but mm-hmm. she's becoming more human, dealing with those mm-hmm. messy human emotions. And one way it seems like you guys have kind of shown that on screen is like through her hair. Like in the first episode yeah. of the first season, she had short straight hair. Then there was a short mm-hmm. Natural style and then braids. Mm-hmm. So before I go any further, I do want to know who on the Discovery or around is Braden Burnham's hair? Does she have a homegirl? Does she braid it herself? Have there mm-hmm. been advances in hair braiding technology?
Yes, yes. I thank you for asking this yes. question.
You've been asked that
because
before?
Because it's something... Yeah, well, no. Okay. I have actually never been asked that before, but it's definitely something that I have to think about.
Okay.
You know, I have to, it's a question that I have to ask myself as yeah. Michael Burnham, and I have to make that real for me
yeah.
because how is this happening?
Yeah, you know, how is she gonna
because there was a,
it looked good.
That's right. Thank you. Cause there was a moment where I asked myself about the authenticity of this
yeah.
and the great thing is that what you see in the beginning of season three is that I am on my own for an entire year in the new future, mm-hmm. disconnected from my crew mm-hmm. Because they land a year after I do. Mm-hmm. So I wait for them. I look for them mm-hmm. tirelessly mm-hmm. and they never come. So there's a point in that year where I'm alone. Mm-hmm. What I realize is, I'll never see my crew again. Mm-hmm. So now I get to really decide who I am mm. and who I actually want to be. Mm-hmm. Now I don't have the umbrella of an institution mm. above me. I don't have to live by an institution's standards, that institution being the United Federation of
yes.
Planets
yeah.
and Starfleet. Uh-huh. And so I start to get really comfortable with that
mm-hmm.
As Michael, and I start to really, I fall in love with it.
Yeah.
And being a courier, which is the job that I take, where we are, you know, basically just traveling goods, to people, but it's a little bit, it can be kind of shady. It's, mm-hmm. it feels kind of black yeah. market yeah. kind of. What happened is I came across in this story, this is background right here.
Oh,
backstory
wow.
for you.
Okay. Okay.
I came to a home and mm-hmm. they let me in, mm-hmm. On one of the planets that I was visiting, mm-hmm. and it was a very tribal community, uh-huh. and they braided my hair for
oh,
me.
Wow.
And
okay.
Yes. And I ended up loving it. Uh-huh. So I kept it up and oh. it worked with this new me, uh-huh. this freer, yeah. edgier me, which yes. is really, I guess, closer to who I really am as Michael. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And I loved it. And mm-hmm. so I kept it up. Uh-huh. And then once I get back to the ship, uh-huh. well, yeah, we have the programmable matter.
Oh, you have the
program. Yeah. And so because now at this point, we can program anything.
Yeah.
And so that's what I do is I just programmable matter, and it's quick, and, mm-hmm. you know, it's plugged in and.
Oh, wow. She saw herself when she got those
that's
braids.
Right.
She saw herself.
That's right. She did.
That is amazing. Okay. You're dropping gems here. You're dropping gems.
Never before heard.
That is amazing. First time, so everybody can learn it here. Okay.
But that's right.
Seriously, on a serious note, you've talked about your decision to go natural with your hair. And I imagine as a Black woman in Hollywood, that was not easy. Can you tell me about that journey and that decision?
Oh, man. I love talking about this because you're right. It wasn't easy. Mm-hmm. And it's not easy for any of us. I feel like we're still, it's better. Yeah. You know, it's yeah. so much better, and mm-hmm. we have to celebrate that, mm-hmm. but it could go further, and it needs to go further. Mm-hmm. When I decided to go natural, I was still in college. And so I had a great many years, learning my hair and then learning to love my hair. Mm-hmm. And I was able to do that because I just absolutely adore my hair. And the way it naturally comes out of my scalp, yeah, I mean. Yeah. But then what I started to do once I moved to New York and once I was auditioning and taking, you know, headshots and whatnot, is I would just straighten it. I would yes. heat style it every
okay.
week,
yeah,
even though it was natural. And mm-hmm. And I was under the impression, I truly believed that I could wear my hair natural in my regular life, but if mm-hmm. I wanted to do anything industry related, I was going to have to straighten it. There was just absolutely no way I was going to be received, accepted, mm-hmm. If it was natural. Mm-hmm. And that is so debilitating to mm-hmm. actually believe that, to mm-hmm. believe that the way your hair naturally comes out of your scalp mm-hmm. is ugly, mm-hmm. unacceptable, unprofessional, that of course, that reflects back onto your value,
yeah.
As a Black woman, mm-hmm. and that's what's so sad. It's because it's something that all of us kind of share, mm-hmm. you know, just this mm-hmm. collective sense of inferiority,
yeah.
This collective sense of ugly, mm-hmm. and oh, I'm not. I must seem like I'm not serious about what I'm doing.
I must seem not competent.
Competent. Right. Yeah. And the fact that we would relate hair to competency is ludicrous.
Yeah.
But that's what happens. And yeah. so to you feel that in order to put your best foot forward in your career, mm-hmm. you have to alter yourself to such a degree. So when I first decided, no, I'm going to be natural now. And I'm going to be natural on the carpet. I'm going to be natural mm-hmm. in my shoots, and I'm going to do my best to be natural with the roles that I play. Mm-hmm. Now, I was blessed mm-hmm. because right at that time I booked Walking Dead, yes. and of course my hair was going to be natural.
Yeah, because you're just out walking around
in the
heat.
Zombie apocalypse.
Yes. Yeah,
you know, you ain't worried about Just For Me. You know what I'm saying?
You can't get one.
Mm-mm. Right. And no. so that worked out perfectly because this role, you know, it was such a big deal because this was such a Goliath of a show. Right.
Yeah.
And it was already so firmly implanted
yeah.
in society that I was making such a big statement. Mm-hmm. Already.
Yeah.
And I remember the last thing that fell away were photos. Okay. Because yeah. there was still this idea that, okay, so you're natural on screen and you're natural on the carpet and you're natural da 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 da. But for the photos we take, it should
you
be
glam. Glam means straight.
Because
hair,
you
right?
can't be glam and beautiful if your hair is curly.
Yeah. How
it's
that
like that doesn't yeah. make sense. But yeah. that was the last thing to fall. And I just yeah. remember it was seamless actually though, because all of a sudden one day I sort of zoomed out and I said, oh my gosh, I am natural everywhere I go. Mm-hmm. And with everything that I do. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. And I was pretty dogmatic about it there for a while, and I think I had to be. Because now I am more concerned about the authenticity of the story. Mm-hmm. I want to be true to whoever I'm playing. So okay. if this woman
would straighten her hair
is at that,
or
would that's
have,
right.
you know, have a weave like I do right now.
You know what I'm saying? Then that's what I'm going to do.
Now, you know, I'm going to get my braids like next week. But I there you I like go. A little weave, you know. It's
you
just,
like
you can
a little
go real
weave.
Fast. It's fast. You can just go.
It's fast. It's convenient. Yes, yes. It's beautiful. And as long as you have the right understanding.
Yes.
As long as you know it's an option it's on an the plate. Option. As long as you know your value is not connected
yes.
to it. Your beauty is not yes. connected to it. Your competency.
Yes.
As long as you know that, have a blast.
Have fun. Have fun.
You know?
The problem is the standard being you have That's to right. look this way.
The European standard way. Of beauty.
Yes. This That's is the right. standard. And so, right. I mean, just I just want to ask, you set this standard. I have heard of other Black women actresses saying that they couldn't mm-hmm. find people on sets who do hair without right. heat, who do, right. you know, that they have to get their hair done before. Have you encountered any of that? Like, they have to do their yeah. hair before they get to the set.
Oh, gosh, yeah. What? Absolutely. I've encountered that so much. Yeah. I'll never forget, I had an experience shooting a commercial many years ago. And they had made it very clear that they wanted my natural hair mm-hmm. and for the commercial. And mm-hmm. I said, you know, that's amazing. Fantastic. Yeah, and yeah. I show up and the stylist apparently was not, that information wasn't relayed to her. And she said, oh gosh, your hair, what is this?
Oh.
You know? And I was like, oh, well, you know, I was directed, you know, to have my natural hair. So, you know, I've already treated it. Da, 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 it's ready for you. We can do whatever we want. You know, I can help and whatnot. And she was just like, well, I don't know. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do with this. I don't know. She was freaked out.
With this.
Exactly. With this. Right. Yeah. And I said, I had to calm her down and quell her concerns and be like, it's okay. I will do it. Let's just decide the style and just give me the products and I'll do it. And then you can sort of tidy it up. Mm. How about that? Mm. Are you okay with that?
Wow.
Will you calm down if we go that route? You know?
It's yeah. You know, and you have said it has gotten better. Has it gotten mm-hmm. better? Is it better?
I think it has gotten better. Yeah. I think now, today, thankfully, if you don't know how to do natural Black hair, it's a problem and okay. it's seen as a deficit.
Okay.
Whereas before, again, it was the standard. You didn't need to know how to do it because, ew, why would we have that? That's yeah. disgusting. Have her straighten her hair, right? But now, if you don't know anything about it, mm-hmm. then it's a deficiency. Mm-hmm. And you need to fix it as a stylist.
Coming up, Sonequa faces the racism within. Across America, history is often recorded on small markers. You've probably seen them on the sides of roads, in front of buildings, in the middle of nowhere. NPR's Laura Sullivan spent a year investigating thousands of markers and found a distorted version of America's history, but also curiosities, humor, and joy. Listen to the new episode of The Sunday Story on the Up First podcast from NPR.
There are a lot of issues on voters' minds right now. Six big ones could help decide the election. Guns, reproductive rights, immigration, the economy, healthcare, and the wars overseas. On the Consider This podcast from NPR, we will unpack the debates on these issues and what's at stake. You can listen to NPR's Consider This wherever you get your podcasts.
I wanted to get into a little bit more about Sonequa and about last mm-hmm. summer. You know, everyone was talking about what happened with George Floyd, him being murdered. And you really opened up on social media.
There's a lot of internalized racism in my heart. I grew up in the South, and the racism was just a part of life. It was just in the air.
You were really raw about growing up in Alabama, about the racism that you experienced. You said racism was just in the air, and you were grappling with self-hatred. And I wondered what made you want to be transparent like that, because I think a lot of people can feel that way, but they don't want to let everybody know.
Right. It's a constant fight for me, to be brutally honest. As extroverted as I am, I'm also quite introverted, and as engaged as I want to be with, you know, with everyone, with the masses, I also want to be very private about my life and my experiences and, you know, that stuff that is, you know, sort of behind closed doors. But I felt like there was a part that all of us needed to play at that time. And that is still the case. Mm-hmm. I had to take a good hard look at myself and say, what am I doing? Mm-hmm. What am I doing? Because it's one thing to bop, bop, bop your gums, but what are you actually doing to help? Mm-hmm. If you have a voice and you have a platform and you have some level of influence, then I just feel that you have a responsibility to use it. But I wanted to use it and I didn't exactly know how, but I realized that it was the self-hatred in me that had sort of kept me shut off from a lot of my history because it was just too painful. And I said, oh, let me instead go this way. Right. And so I had to acknowledge that in myself. And I realized that something that I could do was be transparent.
Thought I had dealt with my upbringing, but this time is bringing it back. Bringing back all the things that I had just buried deep in my heart or shoved in the attic of my heart.
Then I realized, like, being open like this, it's the most vulnerable thing I've ever done on social media, at least. Mm-hmm. And I said, but I think that this is what I got to do. I think this is my part to play right now in this moment.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, some people may wonder how someone like you, beautiful, graceful, successful, how could you have self-hatred? Like, how is that even possible? That's what some people will listen to this and wonder. How's that possible?
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh. I mean, goodness. I almost want to say it could be more possible.
Yeah.
Right? Because there's so much pressure.
Yes, the pressure.
There's a lot of pressure in this position.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for me, I put a lot of pressure on myself you know, sort of, that's right, to uphold and to do justice and to, you know, it's like I take this calling very seriously. Even the fact that I consider it a calling, it's like, this isn't, I believe that this is service. I believe that I've entered a service industry, you know, where you are doing something that will help. But I think that for me growing up in the South, with all of that rampant racism, I think that self-hatred, unfortunately, is really common. Mm. It's really common for, especially if you're Black in America, come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You got to get over it somewhere, somehow.
Yeah. No.
You know, you're going to be met with it at some point.
Yeah.
You know, and especially being a Black woman. Mm-hmm. And then in the environment that I grew up in, you know, as rich and beautiful as it is in lots of ways, it was also very ugly in a lot of other ways. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had to take my have my day in court with self-hatred as well.
I mean, you know, when I think about racism, you know, Toni Morrison, the great writer, said racism is a distraction. It's also a lie, right? Talk about how you overcome that distraction and that lie and find that healing that you were talking about in your post.
I think, you know, my experience is very particular to me, of course, as is everyone's experience. But I can't do it without God. For me, it just doesn't happen. You know, Yeshua is healing for me. Mm-hmm. So I feel that whatever that path of healing is, it's going to be directed by Yeshua and it's going to be paved with Yeshua as well. Mm-hmm. So it's all about connecting to that divine and the divine within. Mm-hmm. But that's easier said than done.
Yeah.
You know, it's a constant daily practice of renewing the mind and therefore renewing the heart. So that's it for me. And I am 36 and I still have a long way to go. And I'm really learning the older I get to be okay with that. You know, because we know it's a lifelong journey, but are you okay with that?
Yeah. And sometimes the hardest person to love is yourself.
Oh, yeah.
That's
what?
The hardest person to love.
I used to not stand her.
Oh, my goodness. You know, that person, like, that person, her? She hard to love. Oh, I don't know about her.
I don't trust her.
I definitely don't trust her. She'll do anything. I don't trust that girl. Thanks again to Sonequa Martin-Green. She stars in Space Jam, A New Legacy, out now in theaters and on HBO Max. She also stars in Star Trek Discovery. Season 4 of that series is expected later this year on Paramount Plus. This episode of It's Been a Minute was produced by Andrea Gutierrez. It was edited by Jordana Hochman. Engineering support came from Patrick Murray. And listeners, don't forget, this Friday we're back with another episode, and for that we want to hear the best thing that happened to you all week. Just record yourself and email the file to us at samsanders@npr.org. That's samsanders@npr.org. All right. Take care of yourselves. Thanks for listening. I'm Aisha Roscoe. We'll talk soon. Well, thank you so very much. This was a great conversation. I can be transparent and say I was very nervous. So I am so grateful.
Oh, thank you for so kind of you to say you. I was nervous as well. I said NPR. Here we go.
The Indicator from Planet Money is all in on video games. Not just because they're a fun hobby. Video games are one of the fastest growing businesses worldwide, worth more than the film and music industries combined.
We're seeing some games that are really taking, $500 million to make.
We're taking a week-long look at the video game industry. Listen to the Indicator from Planet Money podcast on NPR. The Indicator from Planet Money is a daily podcast that helps you make sense of what's happening in the economy. And video games are a growing slice of that economy, with billions of people around the world identifying as gamers. That's why we're dedicating a week-long series to the growing business of video games. Listen to the Indicator for Planet Money podcast on NPR.
Over the past couple decades, the U.S. has lost about a third of its newspapers, taking thousands of local journalists off their beat. A functioning democracy and functioning local journalism go hand in hand. We're trying to do our part, and that's why we need you to do your part. Make sure that the NPR network stays strong by supporting us at donate.npr.org. And thank you.